All right, check one, check all. All right, good to see each and every one of you. Those of you with us online, good to have you today. Amen. Just a few of us folks here today. It's New Year's Day, and we knew it was going to happen like this because last Sunday was Christmas Day. Amen. So that's all right. They'll come back next week, hopefully. Amen. So we're going to have some announcements. Do we have any announcements? Men's Bible study tomorrow night. That's going to be 7 p.m. next door. Ladies are back on or no?
Not yet.
Ladies are off. Men are on. Men's Bible study tomorrow night, 7 p.m. We do have one birthday announcement for you. He's not here. Will you tell him we sang to him? Amen. All right. Riley McBride. How old is he going
to? He's going to be 7. You might have to do it next week.
Okay. We may have to do it next week. All right. Any other birthdays? All right. No happy birthday. We'll do it next week.
Okay.
Amen. We'll get you next week, Riley Rye. Okay. Amen. Thank you.
All right. Well, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Welcome those of us online also, and those of us that are here. If you would stand if you can, and we'll sing, "We Bring the Sacrifice of Praise."
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy, the sacrifices of joy.
Amen.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. The waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, to Him I'll cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service due to Him belongs. Love lifted me. By His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows His will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help,
Dearly Father, we just come here today to just honor and praise your holy name. And we thank you for your word. And thank you for Jeremiah leading his worship music, Lord, and just praise you. And Lord, we just thank you for all our visitors today. And Lord, we just ask you to bless them. Lord, we ask you to just put the word on our pastor's heart. Let him preach the word the way you want it preached. Let the Holy Spirit just flow through this church and touch every one of us, Lord. Again, we lift you up on high, and we thank you for all you've given us. We thank you for another year, Lord, and we pray that we have a great year, and Lord, and everybody just has a good year, Lord. And we just pray for all the ones that can't be here today. We pray for all the ones that are ailing and, you know, and all the problems in life that just comes upon us, Lord. But we know you're in control of all this, and Lord, we just ask you to intervene and touch their hearts and help them. And Lord, we just give a small portion back to you, Lord, and we just ask you to bless this offering in your holy, precious name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. Amen.
All right. Any children's church today? Children's church? Y'all want to do it? Okay. One does. He's fired up. He wants to go. Yeah, man. Huh. Y'all have a good children's church. All right, amen. All right, good to see you again. Let's take our Bibles, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant word of God. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Amen, amen. We'll read it here, standing up through about verse 7, then we'll read the rest of it after we sit down. 2 Samuel chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Those of you with us online, good to have you again. We are in 2 Samuel chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. If you found that this morning, would you say, glory, hallelujah? Ooh, that's a few of you, amen. All right, nobody's holding a hymnal. Everybody got a Bible? All right, not trying to fake me out. Okay, 2 Samuel chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, the Word of God reads this. Now, David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David rose and went with all the people who were with him to Baal Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name, the very name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned above the cherubim. They placed the ark of God on a new cart, that they might bring it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio and his sons Abinadab were leading the new cart. So they brought it with the ark of God from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Ahio was walking ahead of the ark. Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments made of fir wood, and with lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. But when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out toward the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen nearly upset it. And the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his irreverence, and he died there by the ark of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. We pray that as we get into all of these 15 verses here in chapter 6, that our hearts and minds would be open to receive the truth. And Lord, we're praying as we begin 2023 that we would have a deeper intimacy with you as we go through this year. Lord, we really want the faith to come alive in our heart. We really want the Holy Spirit to be heavy on us, not to oppress us, but to help us live this Christian life. Father God, help us as we have made mistakes in 2022. We'll certainly make them in 2023. But Lord, we pray that we'll keep a short account of them. And Lord, we'll continually be going back to you in reverence, in worship, and seeking to be right with you where you are. So God, we praise you and thank you today. We pray for anyone that might need to receive you as their personal Savior and Lord, that this would be the hour, this would be the day. Those watching online, Lord, may this be another seed sown in their hearts, those that are lost. And Lord, we pray that even from the preaching of this word, months, weeks, perhaps even years down the road as they stumble across this, Lord, may you bring them to a saving knowledge of yourself. So God, thank you for saving us. Thank you for another year. We just praise you and thank you for the opportunity to be here. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. Verse 8, if you'll continue on with me, it says, David became angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah. And that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. So David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? And David was unwilling to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David with him, but David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Thus the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him on account of the ark of God. And David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And so it was that when the bearers of the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. And David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet. I mean, they were like getting on like Georgia fans last night. You see that game? Georgia won a ball game by 1 point, right? They're going to defend their national championship in football. They were playing in their backyard, and they came back from a deficit, and they won that game by 1 point. David was carrying on like those George Bulldog fans. I mean, he was just all wrapped up in it, amen? Now, they celebrating a winning football team. David was celebrating the God of the universe, amen? Did you see the difference? Now, as we think about this passage, on the surface, this passage fits in with the history of Israel like this. It goes like this. After 7 years of a brutal civil war, King Saul was murdered in battle. And God promised David how he was going to be king, and he was finally crowned king of Israel. David decided to bring the Ark of the Covenant, a powerful religious symbol for the entire nation. He decided it's time for it to come back to the city of Jerusalem. Now, 20 years prior to all this, the Philistines had captured the very Ark of the Covenant in battle, but it brought them so much stress and so much judgment that they put it on an ox cart, pointed it in a direction of Jerusalem, and let that thing go. We wanted that thing out of our territory. We want it gone. And so for 20 years, the Ark has been stashed in a remote area at the base, at the house of a man named Abinadab, as we read in the passage. Now, in verse 1 of 2 Samuel 6, we read that 30,000 armed soldiers, that's what that's talking about, verse 1, showed up at Abinadab's front door and asked for the Ark. And man, he was glad to let that thing go because he was experiencing a curse because of the Ark. And so he released the Ark back. Now, when we read this passage, these 15 verses, let's be briefly, perfectly honest. A full reading of these verses is why some people do not believe in the Bible. They look at this and they hear this or they watch this online and they say, you know, preacher, God seems ticked off. He seems vindictive here. He seems unfair and mean, especially to Uzzah. Or if people do believe the Bible, then this kind of story seems to create fear and insecurity in our relationship with God. What we see here is not the kind of relationship with God that Paul talked about when he said in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father." Right? You get it? How do we experience then this level of intimacy, this level of safety, this level of security with Almighty God? Well, the story in 2 Samuel 6 seems to tell me that I better watch out if I'm not careful, right? So if I'm not careful, God may strike me down just like he did Uzzah. You understand what I'm saying, right? See, part of our problem in reading this story, or any biblical story for that matter, is that we lack the context. You've got to have the context. The context makes all the difference. And so to understand the context, we seek to ask and answer three questions here this morning. Question number one, if you're taking notes, what was the Ark and why did David want it? What was it and why did he want it? The Ark of the Covenant, you'll remember from our previous studies through the Bible, it was a chest or a box, 4 feet in length and 2 feet in width and 2 feet in depth, and it was overlaid with gold. The solid gold lid was called the mercy seat. Everybody say that with me. Mercy seat. One more time. Mercy seat. Yeah. And unlike the Ark in the, what were those movies? Harrison Ford started them. Indiana Jones, right? Unlike the Ark in the Indiana Jones movies, the Ark of the Covenant did not have magical properties. The Ark symbolized something for the ancient follower of Yahweh. Just as the bread and cup that we use during the Lord's Supper symbolized something for us. Amen? The blood and the body of Christ, right? You get the very presence of Jesus with us when we do that Lord's Supper. Amen? We did that last Sunday. That was great, great, good. Amen? Yes? Right? After delivering Israel from slavery, right, and making a covenant with them, God instructed them to make the ark, and he said, "There I will meet with you." Exodus chapter 25, verse 22. So the ark was a place of intimacy between God and his people. It was the place where the glory of God, literally the heaviness, the weightiness, the experiential reality of God dwelt among his people. And they felt it. And they lived in that glory and that mercy. And all of this intimacy, living in the glory of God, living in a vital relationship, yes, amen, with God was purely God's initiative. It was purely God's gift of radical free grace. So back to my original question. Why did David want the ark so badly? Why did he want it so badly? Perhaps David wanted the ark for political reasons. He's the king. It represents, it's a great representative thing for the people. You know, it's going to look good if I get it back here to Jerusalem. But we also know that David hungered for intimacy with God. Listen to his prayer in Psalm 27:4. 27:4 reads, "One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple." That's the cry of David's heart. That is his cry, to know God, right? He wants to know God, not just to have data or information about God, but to live intimately with the Almighty. To have that kind of relationship that Paul talked about, in which we cry out, "Abba, Father." Make sense? So the ark represented that spiritual reality. Spiritual reality is more than knowing facts about God. Met a lot of people, know a lot of facts. God loves me. Yes, he does. My sins are forgiven. Yes, they are. God is for me. Who can stand against me? You got it. Amen. Those are some great facts. But spiritual reality, what we want in 2023, is having the truth of God come alive in our heart. Come alive in our heart to feel the weight of it pressing on your life. To have God's love and presence and power governing your life more than anything else. More than anything else. See, David wanted the ark because it represented that intimacy with God. It represented that security. Well, that leads us to our second question this morning. We got three questions we're trying to ask and answer. Question one, what was the ark and why did David want it? Well, he wanted it for intimacy. Question number two, why did Uzzah have to die? Why did that brother have to die? In the Bible, per Exodus chapter 25, verses 12 through 14, God made clear, he made it very clear, there were certain rules about moving the ark. Very clear. First, God said that it must be carried, okay? That's why they fitted the ark with golden rings, and it had poles that went through the rings by which four men could carry the ark, right? It had to be carried. Second, it had to be carried by a group of people called the Korahites. That's a set, they're kind of the spiritual green berets of the Levites. And we know who the Levites are, that special priestly class. Thirdly, God said that no one was to touch the ark. Don't touch it. You can look. Don't touch. Got it? So the people in that parade that David had assembled, they disregarded every single rule. Every single rule. Is that why God smote Uzzah? Because he broke the rules, preacher? Is that what's going on here? If that's the case, Pastor Lee, then many people are probably going to say, that's why I don't believe in God. That's why I don't believe in your religion. That's why I don't take any of it, because you're just telling me it's all a bunch of rules. Or they'll say this, that's why I could never get close to God. That's why I never get close. He's just waiting for me to break the rules. And then, wham, preacher, God's going to zap me with something really terrible. Many religious people live with a deep-seated dread that their relationship with God is based on keeping the rules, which, let's be honest, we break the rules every day. We break the rules every day. There's nobody in here perfect. We all break the rules. Some more than others, some rules over here, some rules different over here, but we all breaking them. We all breaking the rules, right? See, we have to understand that breaking the rules is just a symptom. That's a symptom. The rules are all about God. The rules are about our relationship with God. See, the rules say that there's something unique about God. The rules say that God is holy. You get that? Amen? Let's say that together. Holy. One, two, three. Holy. Yeah, that's what he is. God is holy. That means that there's a chasm, there's a great gulf between God and us, a huge, uncrossable chasm. And by ourselves, we can't bridge it. And by ourselves, we can't just say, well, I'm a good person. We can't just say, I do nice things. We can't just say, I go to church. We can't just say, I'm righteous and moral, and I help God out. And so you know, God owes me. Oh, that's the problem, see. See, that's the Uzzah approach to God. God owes me. Uzzah was not an evil man. He was not an evil man, but he certainly was not an innocent man either. You get the point? Amen? God did not smite for just one petty rule violation. As one commentator said, Uzzah's death was not sudden, but rather his death was years in the making. Touching the ark was the final straw, not the singular sin. Does that make sense to you? Amen? Yes, if it does? Amen? Okay. So was God harsh and mean with Uzzah? And the answer is absolutely not. God is just, but for years, God had chosen to forgo his justice and extend mercy to Uzzah. Uzzah, he knew all about the holiness of God. He was raised and trained as a Korahite. He was part of the Levite tribe. Uzzah knew that you can't just come crashing into God's presence, nor can you work your way into God's presence by being good or a moral person. But Uzzah decided to ignore what he knew, and he loaded the ark onto the ox cart. Why? Because in his mind, he knew better than God. Then he thought he would do God a favor by adjusting the ark as it started to fall off the cart it wasn't supposed to be on at all. Making sense? He believed he could manage and control God. And God said what? What did he say? Don't touch the ark because my holiness dwells in the ark. If you touch it, you will die. God never said that the ark couldn't touch the earth. He never said that. See, if we start to believe that we can manage God through our religious behavior or our moral efforts, then we will assume that God owes us something. God owes us, and that we take care of God. And friend, we don't take care of God. God takes care of us. Amen? Uzzah's approach to the spiritual life in Christ is lethal. It's deadly. It kills the spirit, and it kills our relationship with God. As someone has said, Uzzah was dead way before he touched the ark. He died spiritually the moment that he thought he could keep God safely in a box. That ain't how it works. So in the midst of this passage, these 15 verses that we read, God interrupted the parade, and he tried to wake up the entire nation, right? And so that brings us to our third question. Our third question. Question number one, what was the ark and why did David want it? Question number two, why did Uzzah have to die? Question number three, why did David dance with all his might? Why did he dance with all his might? Well, David finally does what? Well, like a lot of folks here in a couple hours, wake up. They're going to wake up. David, he wakes up. And he becomes alive to the reality of the chasm. So David, verse 9, so David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? He understands the chasm. He understands that God is holy and that we are so flawed and sinful. He began to understand depravity is what he's finally understanding. He understands the bad news of the gospel. Now, the gospel is good news, but there's parts of it that are really bad news. What's the bad news, preacher? The bad news is that we're worse off. We are worse off than we first thought. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, the New Testament puts it this way. Back to Romans. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Well, friend, the all is us. Make sense? Amen? That's bad news. That's bad news. Now, the good news is coming, but that's bad news. So why did David start the party again? Why did he strip down to his boxer shorts and go wild with a crazy, knee-slapping, God-exalting, song-raising, shout and dance of praise to God? Why did he do that? Because he understood. He finally got God's mercy and God's grace. We see a small taste of this grace in the little episode of Obed-Edom. After Uzzah dropped dead and the party ended, the ark wound up at Obed-Edom's house. Now, we know nothing about this man except that he's a Gittite, which means he's a Gentile. He's a foreigner. He's just like me and you. He's an outsider, right? But he gets to host the Ark of the Covenant. Amen? Right? Now, after Obed-Edom's housed the ark for 3 months, God not only blessed him, but also his entire family. Now, the question, why didn't God smite Obed-Edom? Why did he smite him just like he smote Uzzah? What did Obed-Edom do that was so special? He didn't do much. He did nothing. He didn't try to manage God. He didn't try to control God. He didn't try to get God in his debt because he's such a good moral person. You know what Obed-Edom did? He simply placed his faith in the radical grace of Almighty God as a non-Jew, as a Gentile like me and you. And so the news travels back to David that his house is blessed and that everything he owns has been blessed. And David, he gets it. That's the only way to come to God. You come to God by grace. Amen. David should have known this. But like us, he and his people kept forgetting it. Grace. Grace. God's grace. Now, God told his people to place a mercy seat on top of the ark made of solid gold. And every year, the mercy seat was sprinkled with the blood of sacrifice. This was because God wanted to show what? He wanted to show visibly. He wanted to show in a very unforgettable way. He wanted to show in a very visceral way that forgiveness always costs something dear. Forgiveness always costs a life. And now here's the good news of the gospel. Remember the bad news? Romans 3:23. Here's the good news of the gospel. God was prepared to pay that price for us. We committed sin against God. You could say we committed treason against God if you want to. But when Christ died on the cross, he bore our sin. Christ paid our debt. And so David understood, or at least had a foretaste of that radical grace which produces radical intimacy. So what did he do? He did all he needed to do. David danced, and he danced with all his might, and he danced with reckless abandon, and he danced, and he didn't care what anyone else thought about his dancing. That's what he did. He danced because the glory and presence and grace of God was so heavy. It was so palpable in his life. He could feel it in his bones. He knew the weightiness of God and the glory of God and the grace of God that he did not deserve. But he knew it, and he was experiencing it. Amen? See, God had bridged the gap. God had bridged the gap, and David saw the justice. And he saw the holiness of God, And in the midst of those, he experienced the radical grace from God. And that set David's heart free. Now, the even better news is that fullness of grace and fullness of mercy, that's already been offered to us. That's already been offered to us. Christ has paid our debt. We no longer have to carry the burden of our sin. I think this is why people during this time of year experience so much depression. They go back. They keep rehearsing. They can't get free of past failures and past bad decisions and past mistakes and past sins and past words they spoke in anger and past this and past that. They can't get rid of it. They can't let it go. And so the mind spirals out of control and gets so focused on self instead of focused on Him. I'm just depraved flesh without Christ. That is depressing. But with the Holy Spirit within, and the salvation on, and a new destination I'm headed to, that's pretty positive. I can let the negative go. I can let the bad go. I'm going to roll on, man. Roll on, right? The fullness has been offered to us. So, do you know what I'm talking about? About the forgiveness, the burden of our sin being lifted? Do you understand what we say? Do you feel the weight of that in your heart? Do you know that Christ, that in Christ, that through Christ, that with Christ, every sin has been nailed to the cross? You don't need to bear the condemnation of your sin any longer. You can be set free. Make sense? You can approach God, the Holy God, the same way that David, that he met with God, the same God that struck Uzzah down. You can approach that Holy God. You can say, Father, I'm hurting today. You can say, Father, I've fallen into sin. You can say, Father, help me. You can cry out, save me. You can pray, cleanse me. And He will. Amen. So friends, in 2023, if you want to have an intimacy with God that perhaps you've never experienced before, this is what you must do. It's got to come alive inside of you, inside of your heart. You say, preacher, can you really feel it? You really can. You really can feel it. You want to feel it this year. Maybe it's been a few years since you felt it. You want to feel it this year. Amen, amen. So we bow our heads and close our eyes. And Brother Jeremiah begins to make his way down for this time of invitation. The altars will be open. There may be some baggage that you've been packing in 2022. And that baggage may need to be let go today. You need to let that baggage go. You need to confess that thing, come clean with that situation, admit your fault, get vulnerable with Almighty God, and then leave it right here. Leave it. Don't pick it back up. Leave it. And you watch. You watch what God does with you and what He does for you. And how He works through you. Jesus, watch that in 2023. And come back to me in 30 days, 6 months. the year. The Lord tarries, we get another year out of this deal. 2024 rolls around. You say, preacher, remember that message you preached back in January of 2023? And I'll say, no, I don't remember that. I don't remember that. And you'll say, you said, and I wrote it, and you've written it down. And I've gone back and I've watched the video. And, preacher, I really have experienced intimacy with God this year. Thank you. And I'll say, man, don't thank me. Thank God. Amen. And then tell somebody. Tell somebody what God's done for you. That's what you do. Amen. So let's have a word of prayer. We'll open this invitation time. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for these you've drawn out this morning. First day of the year, Lord. Another trip around the sun, God. Here we go. And so, Lord, we're just thankful for all you've done, how you've blessed 2022. We're looking forward to a great year, Lord. In spite of everything going on around us, we're looking forward to a great year in 2023. Lord, that great year starts with us. That great year starts with us getting cleaned out, reset, and, Lord, refocused on who you are. So, Lord, we want it. We need it. We want to experience it like David. Oh, we want to dance to you, Lord. We want to shout, praise you, worship you. Father God, be with us as we make these decisions, as we get vulnerable, as we look inside. Help us. Help us, Lord. Be the people of God you desire us to be. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Thank you for your grace. And thank you for your mercy. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. The altars are open. You come. I'll be down front if you need me. We stand all over the sanctuary. Thank you.
Bless me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet
good. As we close our time out today, we want to remember Jessica Stewart. Jessica's having some challenges, and her parents are newest members here, and so we want to pray for her. And as we pray for her, we also want to pray for Brother Ronnie. Brother Ronnie's got a growth on his pancreas, and so we're praying that growth will be non-cancerous. Amen. That'd be a benign growth, and that they're able to take care of that, or sometimes, you know, benign growths, we just kind of leave them alone. So we want to pray for Brother Ronnie and pray for Jessica this morning, all right? Will you join me in prayer for that? Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we thank you for the blessings of life. We thank you for this church, Lord. We thank you for their determination and discipline to pray and to bear the burdens of each other. And so, Lord, we come to you this morning. We want to pray as a concert of prayer. As I pray, Lord, publicly and out loud, everyone else here is going to be praying silently, Lord. And so we give you the glory, we give you the honor for your healing hand upon us, Lord, that you have created us. You have knit us together in our mother's wombs. And so, Lord, you know us. Our hairs are numbered. You know our heart. And so, Lord, as we approach you this morning, as we close out this time, we lift up Jessica to you this morning. We pray you might touch her, Lord, and bring healing to her life, bring healing to her mind, her spirit. Lord, just heal her up. Help her where she's struggling. Lord, help her draw near to you. And Lord, just help her seek your face as she prays and just seeks after your heart, God, for her life. But we praying for a touch of the Holy Spirit to bring healing to her in just a very miraculous way. And then for Brother Ronnie, Lord, we lift him up to you this morning. And we're praying for Brother Ronnie's health. We're praying for his shoulders and his feet. And Lord, this latest diagnosis of having a growth on his pancreas, Lord, we're praying that this is benign. And Lord, even as we pray, we're praying that it might begin to shrink. And Lord, perhaps you might remove it from his body. But Lord, we're praying that you protect Brother Ronnie. We pray a hedge of protection around him. That Lord, you might sustain him, give him the strength to go through the more testing and the more doctors and everyone he's going to be seeing now. Lord, we just pray that you might bring this to a conclusion early in the year and might give him health and healing in his life. And then, Lord, as we close it out, we want to lift up our other Ronnie with his cancer issues, Ronnie Holman. And, Lord, we pray that you might bring healing to him as well. Touch his body, Lord. We always remember our Ronnies in prayer, but, Lord, we're talking about them and praying about them today. And just praying that you might touch their bodies. Give them testimonies of healing, Lord, how you've delivered them and how you've touched them. And then, Lord, for the rest of us, as we get ready to depart this place, may we go in the peace and may we go in the love of Christ. And, Lord, may it be a good first day of the year. And, Lord, may we be able to say it was good to be together. It was good to worship. It was good to sing. It was good to hear the word. And it was good to pray together as a church body. May we continue to pray for these that we've mentioned through the week and through the coming days ahead, thanking you in advance, God, how you're going to do your perfect will in each of these individuals that we've lifted up here today. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. Amen. Go beat them Methodists. Right? Beat them.